The prophet Isaiah long ago proclaimed to God's people, "But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, he who formed you, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you." Amen. Please be seated. Our opening hymn this morning, you'll notice the theme as we sing through our hymns this morning too, is about building on the rock. So let's stand and sing, "Christ is made the sure foundation."
Please be seated. A very warm welcome to you this morning. Thanks for joining us here in person at Scott's and online via the YouTube live stream. Please stay for refreshments in the Westpac building. And if you're visiting today and you're looking for a church to call home, we'd love to make you welcome through the QR code on our intro card. If you're not the techie type, fill out the card with a pen and leave it at the door as you leave. A reminder that Kids Church is taking a break over the school holidays and will resume on the 21st of April. Our newcomers lunch will be held this coming Sunday. If you've joined us at Scott's since the last newcomers lunch, you're very welcome to come along. Just complete the form using the QR code on the back of the order of service, or come see me after the service to RSVP. Finally, we are taking a break with our midweek small groups, back with a seminar by Arthur on Tuesday, April the 16th, on the topic Chasing the Wind, Reevaluating Your Work in Light of Biblical Wisdom. Dinner is provided, so please contact me to let us know that you're coming. Now, our next hymn is The Strife is Over, the Battle Done.
Please be seated. Will you join me in prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, quiet our thoughts and focus us on you. lift up our hearts to you now. Hearts of faith, hearts of doubt, of belief, even mixed with unbelief, hearts of hopes and fears. Father, you know each of us more intimately, more profoundly, and more truly than we know ourselves. We are the work of your hands. Lord Jesus, the events of Easter are still fresh in our minds. Your trials and passion for our sake, your death in our place, and above all, your rising from death to new life, the first fruits and the foretaste of the new heavens and the new earth that will come with your return in glory. We thank you and praise you, Lord Jesus, for being our bridge over the troubled waters of our sinful hearts, many faults and failures, the bridge of reconciliation and peace with our Creator God. Holy Spirit, speak the truth of the gospel into our hearts. Strengthen and sustain us to serve the risen and ascended Lord Jesus as his willing instruments, manifesting his love to others. And hear us now as we pray in the words that Jesus taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, choir. Today we want to say a special welcome to friends and family of Felix and Charisma, who are here as we celebrate the infant baptism of baby Inda Margot Tanu, who was born on the 2nd of August 2023. In the Christian tradition, there are two ancient symbols that we celebrate. We celebrated one last week, Holy Communion, and this week we celebrate infant baptism. Baptism joins us with Jesus' followers through the ages. It is a powerful symbol that links to an even more powerful promise. Christian parents, since the earliest times, have baptized their children as a sign of our commitment to raising our kids to know and trust the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus who promises to cleanse our hearts, to unload our guilt as we turn to him in faith. And so what we're doing today finds meaning not so much in the water as in the promises that are made. That means the vows Inda's mum and dad are going to make in front of us today will need to be brought to mind and put into practice for years to come if they're going to follow through and teach her what it means to trust and follow the Lord Jesus. So Felix and Charisma, let me invite you to come forward with Inda as we charge you before God to take seriously the promises you're about to make this morning.
It's very cute. All right.
Felix and Charisma, do you declare your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who justifies his people by that same faith?
We do.
We do.
And do you bring Inda to be baptized with the prayer that in due time she will come to a personal faith in Jesus too?
We do.
And finally, do you promise, as you are able to teach Inda to follow the Lord Jesus, to pray for her faithfully, and by word and example, to bring her up in the nurture of the Lord and as part of the Church of God?
We do.
Great.
So, let me try and balance everything. Is she okay? There we go. I don't think I'm a big fan, babies are a big fan of me. Inda Margot Tanu, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I might give you that. Let's pray. She did well, didn't she? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the sign of baptism, which assures us that you are our God and that you renew our hearts by your Spirit. You have rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of your dear Son. We thank you for Inda. We pray that your Spirit will bring Inda to an understanding of your gift of new life, be her refuge, her fortress, her shepherd in all the trials of life. We pray that you would bless Inda's home. Strengthen both Felix and Charisma, that they would be faithful over the years to teach Inda about what it means to follow Jesus. Give them wisdom, that through word and example, they would bring Inda up in the nurture of your ways and your love. May Inda be the means of drawing Felix and Charisma still closer to you and to each other. And Father, we pray that when your Son returns, we may all be brought to the everlasting joy. Through Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns eternally. Amen. As part of the baptism, we have a certificate and also a gift for Inda.
Thank you.
And we also have a posy from Eleanor and Genevieve.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you very much.
I'm sure you feel the same as I do. It is just a wonderful thing to be part of a baptism in this beautiful church. Bless you. If you're part of the Scots Church family and you're not already giving electronically, then this is your opportunity to join us in financial partnership. But if you're visiting us today, please feel no obligation to contribute. Be our guest. Our offertory hymn this morning, the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord.
Please be seated. Let us join our hearts and minds in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you as a community of believers filled with gratitude and praise. We thank you for everything you have done for us and the world through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. We are grateful for our hope and salvation through his life, death, and resurrection. And we thank you for the promise of eternal life and the forgiveness of our sins. Loving God, help us continue to do your will and spread your love to all those around us, we pray. Heavenly Father, as we celebrate the 150th anniversary of the Scots Church building, Lord Jesus, thank you for being the cornerstone of our faith and church. And we pray for your church to continue standing with the poor and loving the outcasts and ashamed and serving the sick and neglected and proclaiming the gospel in this land, this place, and the world. We also pray that your Holy Spirit will empower your church to do what pleases you. As we listen to your word and Reverend Phil Court's sermon today, please open our hearts and minds and help us to keep watch, pray, and do your will. And we pray for blessings upon Phil Court and the entire Scots ministry team. We pray that they would be blessed with strength, wisdom, and clarity to carry out their ministry faithfully and fruitfully. And we pray for their families to be blessed and protected. Loving God, thank you for Inda Margot Tanu's baptism today. Please bless her and her family and help them to experience your love through faith in you. And we pray for the Scots Church April activities, including the newcomers' lunch next Sunday and the seminar on the 16th of April. And we pray that this event will bless many for your glory, honor, and praise. And we pray also for the Scots Church leaders, elders, small groups, and Sunday school leaders, admin staff, volunteers, our mission partners, and the joint mission at Flemington. Loving God, we pray that they would receive your strength, wisdom, providence, and protection as they serve and love you and serve and love your people. And bless those who come on Tuesdays. And we pray that they may experience your love and mercy and be saved. We pray for the victims of the recent earthquake in Taiwan and the floods in Queensland and New South Wales. And we ask for your mercy and grace to strengthen those who are mourning the loss of their loved ones and the homelessness caused by these disasters. We also pray for the safety and well-being of those who have yet to be rescued. And we ask for your blessings and guidance for the rescue teams in finding more and more survivors. Loving God, we pray for the sick, and those awaiting tests or surgery, and those suffering worldwide. We remember our friends, Wayne Truong, Stuart Banks, Robin Emmett, and many others, and as well as those who are lonely, isolated, neglected, abused, or in fear and sorrow. We pray for those who have lost their jobs or income. We pray for your grace, comfort, and peace to be with them. Lord God, we are grateful for all the blessings and gifts you have given us, and bless the tithes and offerings we have given today, including those who have donated electronically. Bless the cheerful givers and those who have managed the church finances. We pray that you would guide us in sharing the joy of giving and receiving so that your love can be spread far and wide. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning's first Bible reading is Matthew chapter 7, verses 12 to 20. You can follow along in your order of service. Jesus said, "Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but are inwardly ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Amen. This morning's second Bible reading continues in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 29. You can follow along in your order of service. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. Amen, and thanks be to God.
Let me pray. Father God, as we delve into your inspired word this morning, these words of Jesus, open our hearts to see the truth of them, to embrace the truth of them, and to turn that into the practical reality of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this year we celebrate the 150th birthday of this building. And we've even got a commemorative logo. Isn't that great? And no doubt there'll be plenty of historical facts, figures, anecdotes before the big day arrives in November. But here's a few fun facts to get you into the groove. From demolishing the previous church building that stood on this site to the opening service of this building was just 22 months. Hard to believe, but true. The total cost, including interior fittings and a fully installed organ, not this one, but the one that preceded it, or one of the ones that preceded it, was £28,000. Now, that's really hard to believe, but also true. Now, here's a fact that might shock you, some of you anyway. The building was never consecrated in line with old Presbyterian tradition. It simply opened for Sunday worship on the 29th of November 1874 to a full house. And here's one for Justin and Arthur to aspire to. See, the Age newspaper reported that at the evening service on that opening day, the 34-year-old assistant minister, Reverend J.G. Stobbs, preached to an overflow crowd where, and I quote, all the aisles were filled with chairs and it was computed that at least 1,300 persons were present. Finally, here's a fact. I, who was once a construction worker, was very relieved to discover the foundations on which our beautiful Scots Church building rests are the hardest of hard rock, locally quarried, good old Melbourne bluestone. So, as Jesus advised, this house, this house of God, is very wisely founded on rock. And as the adopted son of Joseph the construction worker, Jesus knew what he was talking about. On another matter, in case you've been living under a rock, here's some recent tragic news. Just the week before last, in the US city of Baltimore, a container ship suddenly lost power, ploughing into one of the Francis Scott Key Bridge's supporting piers. The bridge instantly collapsed into the freezing cold river, taking 8 maintenance workers with it. 2 survived, 6 drowned. How could such a thing happen? Surely the bridge's design engineers must have made allowances for ships going off course. I mean, shouldn't the bridge's piers' foundations have been strong enough to withstand the collision and prevent the disaster? Well, in a helpful article that I read the other day on The Conversation, Associate Professor Colin Caprani from Monash University's Civil Engineering Department, he analysed this incident, what we knew about it so far, and he called it a 20th century bridge meeting a 21st century ship. See, the bridge was designed and built in the 1970s. That's 50 years ago. And it met the safety standards of the times. But times change. Ships have become much bigger. This particular ship, the NV Daly, or Dali, I'm not sure how you say that, but it weighed more than 100,000 tonnes. It ploughed through the bridge's 1970s diversion barriers and fenders at a speed of about 15 kilometres an hour, and it struck the bridge's pier with a force equivalent to 20,000 tonnes. In Caprani's words, the bridge was simply not designed with a collision like this in mind. Well, the good news for us here in Melbourne, he says, is that the latest 2017 edition of the Australian Standard on Bridge Design requires designers to, quote, think about the biggest vessel likely to come along in the next 100 years and what would happen if it were heading for any bridge pier at full speed. As a result, he tells us, many newer bridges now protect their piers with entire human-made islands. And to further reassure you, I can tell you that after I went and had a look, the critical piers of our own Westgate Bridge are in fact protected in this way. And what are these artificial islands made of? Good old Melbourne bluestone rock. So the Westgate Bridge ought to be good for another 100 years. And this building's foundation should be good, let's hope, for another 150 years. But how good are our spiritual foundations? Because that's what Jesus is driving at in this morning's readings. Do we as individuals, but also collectively as a church, do we embrace and live out all the words of Jesus? Or do we just pick and choose the words we want to hear? Do we sentimentally hang on to his comforting words while ignoring, discarding, or skipping over his more challenging words? That's what I want us to consider this morning. Our Bible readings kicked off with one of Jesus' most quoted commands. It's famously called the Golden Rule. Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. See, Jesus has distilled, as only Jesus can, the essence of the Old Testament's teachings down to this. Treat others with the dignity, the compassion, the understanding, the forgiveness, the love, the generosity and the practical support to the same standard that you yourself deep down want to be treated. Another way of putting it would be to say, do unto others as Jesus Christ does unto you. This command of Jesus, the Golden Rule, I think it's both comforting and challenging. It's comforting to know that that's how Jesus wants you to be treated at all times. But it's challenging to consistently live it out in our own lives and in our relationships with the world around us. It's challenging to realise just how frequently and how far we fall short. Jesus knows this, and that's why he immediately goes on to tell us that in our life's journey, we're faced essentially with two gates which lead in opposite directions. He speaks of the wide and easy gate and the narrow and hard gate. Many will enter the wide and easy path that ultimately leads to destruction. Few, he says, will find the narrow and hard path that leads to life. In this metaphor, Christ himself is the narrow gate. You might recall in John's Gospel, he uses the similar metaphor of a door to make the same point. You can see it in chapter 9 of John. He says, I am the door, and if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and find pasture. He'll go in and out and find pasture, I should say. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And as we're confronted with these two gates, Jesus warns us that all is not what it seems, not always. There are wolves, he says, in sheep's clothing, inwardly ravenous wolves, demagogues, who claim to speak in the name of Jesus, but are themselves nothing at all like Jesus in their actions and their lifestyles. Jesus calls them false prophets, and he says, recognize them by their fruits. The shamelessly rich and private jet-setting spruikers, for example, of the prosperity gospel, fit Jesus' description even better than their own hand-tailored suits. Others peddle nationalist and xenophobic ideologies as if their own political wheelbarrows are personally endorsed by Jesus. There's even a God Bless the USA Bible. Can you believe it? Along with the actual biblical books, King James translation, of course, it includes the US Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the Pledge of Allegiance, and the lyrics to some song called God Bless the USA, all in one holy Bible. Have a wild guess which defeated former US president is spearheading its advertising campaign. We can be comforted to know that Jesus can't be fooled by any of this. When they spruik their vain and hollow claims before him, he tells us, "Then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." Unless they have a radical change of heart, they will remain tragic examples of the foolish man that Jesus warns us of. Everyone, he says, who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. See, they have heard the words of Jesus. They even adopt and use some of his words, twisting them out of context to make the wide and easy path to destruction seem like an enticing and holy crusade. So listen carefully to Jesus' warning. The word of God is in fact like a solid rock. And as John's gospel proclaims, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, the only son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So don't try to break it down, to sift out the bits that you find confronting, the bits that challenge your assumptions and prejudices, the bits that reveal the idols of your own heart. Because when you do that, the nice bits you're left with are just like grains of sand. And living by those grains of sand will not equip you for the trials and temptations of life. You will have built your house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Brothers and sisters, rather build your house, indeed your life, on the rock that is Jesus. Take on board the words that we sang in our first hymn this morning. Christ is made the sure foundation. Christ the head and cornerstone, chosen of the Lord and precious, and binding all the church in one. And rejoice in the words of our second hymn. He broke the bonds of death and hell. The bars from heaven's gateway fell. And embrace the words of our third hymn. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride, and with his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. And so as we celebrate the 150th year of this venerable, beautiful building, may each of us become not just hearers of God's word, but doers of his word, so that as Jesus commanded, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. In this way, Scots Church, as a continuing generation by generation body of God's people, trusting in Jesus, will thrive and flourish, even through whatever storms and trials might lie ahead. And may the generations to come look back on the history of this church and repeat with thanksgiving those wonderful words of Jesus, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Amen, and thanks be to God. Well, let's stand and sing our final hymn this morning, Rock of Ages. I hope you can join us for refreshments and fellowship in the Westpac Centre straight after this service for a great time. And also the newcomers' lunch, which will be the following Sunday. And if you want to come along to that, please grab Justin before you leave and make sure that you're booked in for that. We'd love to see you there. And now, Go in peace, my dear brothers and sisters, to love and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest on each one of us this day and forevermore.